I'm Holly.
And I'm Austin.
And this is
Crime with a Side of Wine.
This is where we will be talking about true crime cases while drinking glasses of wine. And yes, y'all, we did say glasses because with some of these cases, you will definitely need more than one drink. Cheers. All right, y'all, welcome back to Crime with a Side of Wine. Not much really going on. Babe, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a rum and coke.
Delish.
It always is. But spiced rum, not regular rum. And always Captain. Why? Never Sailor Jerry is no. For...
Huh? Why spiced rum?
Oh, it just tastes better.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I feel like it would taste like a, what's that? The cinnamon candy.
It does not taste anywhere near Fireball.
No, not Fireball. Candy. Not Fireball. Like a Red cinnamon. Hots? No. There's it's like a hard candy, but it's like a cinnamony flavor, not like a Red Hot. I can't remember the name.
I have no idea. It'll come to me.
It'll come to me. If y'all know what I'm talking about, help me out. Also, I don't have anything to drink today, y'all.
We need new wine.
Yeah, I'm tired of the same old same. And if y'all have any recommendations of wine, let me know. Oh, also, so if y'all can't tell, we moved to New England a year ago because we're military. So we're realizing there's a lot of stuff that they have up here that we don't have at home. So back home we have alcohol in Walmart or in pretty much any grocery store. You have alcohol, at least wine and
not
beer.
Not Alabama, really. I mean, wine and beer, yes.
Not liquor. But just alcohol, like wine and beer, in pretty much any grocery store back home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up here, they don't have that.
No.
Like, not even, it's not a thing. You have to go to an actual liquor store.
Yeah. It's a far cry from Louisiana, too. I mean, you can get drive-thru daiquiris there.
Oh, my God. Those are freaking amazing. I think I had my first one with you whenever we went to your, was it Nana and Grandpa's anniversary?
Nope. It was Nanny's wedding.
Oh, wow. Oh, that was fun. Anyways, but the reason I mentioned this is because my coworker asked me, what I call liquor store. And I was like, a liquor store? She's like, yeah, up here we call them package stores or packies.
Okay, they're not Australian. I don't know what her deal is with that.
Well, a lot of stuff that they say up here reminds me of, something they'd say in England. Actually England. Because, water fountain. I said water fountain. She was like, yeah, some people call it bubbles up here. Bubbles.
I don't believe that. Right? I just don't believe that.
Okay, and the mini little alcohol bottles, the little mini wine bottles or mini little liquor bottles. She's like, what do you call those? I was like, mini alcohol bottle? Little minis? And she's like, yeah, we call them nips. I was like, nip. Like a nip, like a nipple nips? And she's like, yeah, like a nips.
I believe that. I 100% believe that.
It cracked me up and I was like, what in the world?
Bubbles.
Yeah, bubbles.
I don't believe that. Bubbles, I think she's are bubbly.
No.
I think she's pulling your leg.
No. Yeah, she said, because she went to school in Connecticut, and she said, even in Connecticut, they say things that are, different than what we say up here. That's weird.
Packies.
I know. It was very interesting. I was cracking up.
We blow their mind back home.
That was funny. Okay, are you ready to get started?
Yep.
Take a sip. You're going to need it. That was a long sip. Okay, so before I get started... Y'all, we're talking about Carlton Gary, aka the Stocking Strangler. Let me just warn you, you gotta really dig for information on him. I mean, if you Google him, it's pretty much just he was recently killed in 2018, death penalty. He died. So, yeah, he was put to death 2018. That's pretty much, if you do it, that's what pops up. And then local news will cover that, but they only give you a brief of what happened. They don't really go into detail.
I mean, he's pretty old, isn't he?
He was born December 15th, 1952 in Columbus, Georgia.
Well, I can't imagine much has survived. If they had much information on him in the first place.
Nanny and Paul were born in 56.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not much younger than him.
No, I'm just saying news outlets maybe don't keep it in smaller towns like that.
Maybe. I don't know. But what I did find was this man, Michael Newton, wrote Encyclopedia of Modern Serial Killers Hunting Humans. So this is where I got this information from. Also, some of it, some articles I read were completely different. Like, one of them said his birthday was September 24th.
Don't like that.
Which is your birthday.
Don't like that. Nope.
Same year, just different, like, completely different month and day. Completely yeah. different.
I'm going to call whatever website that's on and tell them.
Yeah. Down. So I'm going to go with Michael Newton's coverage of it. We're going to go with his stuff. Okay. So, Carlton Gary, obviously born in Columbus, Georgia, which... I didn't tell y'all before, I am from Phoenix City, Alabama, which is right across the Chattahoochee River, right there all together. Like, so many people work in Columbus and live in Phoenix City.
It's like a 20-minute drive.
And it's weird. So, like, Alabama is on Central Time, but mm-hmm. Phoenix City is on Eastern because so many people work in Columbus, Georgia.
It's because there ain't nowhere to work in Phoenix City unless you want to work at the Biggly Wiggly.
It's grown a lot, okay? It's gotten bigger. Sin City. Seriously, oh my gosh, if y'all want to, I will totally do a story on Sin City. Like, Phoenix City was
pretty bad.
Not a good place to be back in the day. Like, not good whatsoever. Maybe I'll do a story on that.
Isn't there like a documentary on it?
Yeah. Sin City. That's literally what it was. Okay, so Carlton Gary, he was like a really, really smart kid. I mean, he was really good in school. Had a rough childhood. His dad wanted absolutely nothing to do with him. He met his dad once whenever he was 12 years old, and that's it. Like, his dad's like, okay, and you are? Like, I don't care.
Wow.
Yeah. So his mom and him were really, really poor. Like, he was really, really skinny and tiny. A lot of times whenever his mom couldn't take care of him, she would leave him with his aunts who worked as maids for really rich women. Yeah. Real fantasy. So while he was at elementary school, though, he had a pretty severe accident, like trauma to his head. He was knocked unconscious on the playground.
But like no reasoning.
I don't know. Like, I couldn't tell like how it happened or what, but he was just, I'm going to say maybe he walked in front of people on the swings and got kicked in the head and was unconscious. Damn. Or I'm just assuming that part. I don't know.
Personally, can attest that actually really hurts.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure it wasn't fun, but it was like it was really, really pretty big deal. So not long after, though, he became heavily involved in drugs and alcohol, and by 18 years old, he was already arrested for robbery, arson, and assault. Like, he was really, he had a pretty good rap sheet.
Yeah, he wasted no time.
None. But now I don't know if like any studies were done to see if maybe his head trauma had anything to do with that. Because like I said, he was like a very, very good kid. Like a smart, bright.
I mean.
But he very well could have also just gotten involved with the wrong people.
This is also true.
So, I don't know. But it's interesting to see that maybe that has something to do with it. So, in the spring of 1970, he moved to Albany, New York. And he also was married for a very short period of time. And he had one kid. But he nothing was ever said about that kid again. It's like pretty much what his dad did to him. Like nothing to do with you. Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me.
Like,
yeah, men nowadays. Ugh, I'm just kidding. Wow. Not you.
I should hope not. I'm still here. 3 years.
So, in May, Marion Brewer was found strangled with a pillowcase in her hotel room. And then very quickly, 2 months later, 85-year-old Nellie Farmer, I love the name Nellie. I think that's just so beautiful. She was found in an apartment, also dead.
So, yeah. Two things.
Mm-hmm.
First off, the only thing that comes to mind when you say the word or name Nellie is Nellie Bertram. Can't get past that.
Nellie Bertram.
Yeah, from The Office.
Oh, I love Nellie.
I mean, I loved her. I loved the actress when she played on Doctor Who. But and then my second thing, I thought he was called the Stocking Strangler. But this the first lady we'll died
find
by
out.
Pillowcase.
You'll find out soon why he was called Stocking Strangler.
All right.
So, these two cases here, like, he was a suspect for their deaths, but he blamed his friend, John Lee Williams. He was like, nope, he's a killer. I left before they were dead. Like, we just robbed them.
Lies.
So, John Lee Williams, he was sentenced to prison, but then Gary, like, came out and was like, nope, I take back my statement. Like, oh, just kidding what I said. He didn't do it. So, the verdict was overturned. But Carlton Gary was never accused, like, never guilty for these crimes whatsoever. So he very well possibly did do it, but he was never charged with these.
Like, if I had to guess, he probably did it.
Now, he was in Albany. He was convicted of burglary because what he stole from the women's houses or hotel room and apartment, he was trying to sell them. And then he was also in possession of drugs. So he went to jail in Onondaga County Correctional Institution in Janesville, New York. But he escaped on August 22nd, 1977, and headed his sweet little tushy back to Columbus, Georgia. What?
I don't know why you would go back.
To Columbus? That's his home. Yeah. That's his hometown.
Well, I know. It's just, I don't know. I never went back to my hometown, and I can't picture myself going back to my hometown, you know?
We have a plan to move. Oh, you're not about Foley.
No.
Oh, you're talking about Louisiana. Yeah. Oh, okay, okay.
That talking about sense. The good old Crescent City.
Them Cajuns. All right. So, September 16th, 1977, 60-year-old Fern Jackson was raped, beaten, and strangled at her home in the Winton District of Columbus, Georgia. And she was actually found with a nylon stocking tied around her neck in a knot.
There it is.
That is why he was told stocking strangler. Now, 9 days later, a few blocks away, 71-year-old Jean Demenstein and Florence Schiebel, 89 years old, and they were also found the same way, as well as on October 21st, 69-year-old Martha Thurmond was found the exact same way as well.
That's...
Yeah. So, four women found the exact same way with a stocking tied around their neck.
And they were all, I mean, all four, well, all five of the dead women so far have all been old women.
Yeah, they were all elderly white women. Mm-hmm. Carlton Gary is this, let's see, at that time he was 25 years old. Yeah, 25 years old, and he's already killed, let's just, not even including the ones in New York, four women, all in the same manner.
See, I don't get the mentality behind that. Like, old women can't really even fight back.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, now, October 28th, 74-year-old Kathleen Woodruff, she was raped, beaten, and strangled as well, but she did not have the signature stocking around her neck. So there's some people that say, like, well, he didn't do that one.
He probably did.
He very well possibly could have, but some people say he didn't. Now, on February 12th, 1978, Ruth Schwab, she survived the attack. She had a, what do you call those little alarms on her nightstand?
Really?
Yeah, she had one
like
of those.
Like a panic button?
Yeah, kind of.
Interesting.
Yeah, so she hit that, which freaked him out, and he obviously left. But then, I'm assuming just he was pissed, he didn't kill anybody. He went two blocks away from her and raped and strangled 78-year-old Mildred Borum. Now, I have the maps. I'm going to show you, like, how close they were together.
You're from the area. Yeah. You've probably passed by these places and never really noticed.
Yeah, so Kathleen Woodruff, her home was on Buena Vista Road, and that road actually passes by this huge tower Aflac building, which is, I mean, to me, like, you, if you're from Columbus, you know the Aflac building, you know that tall building. I'm assuming it wasn't there then, but it's there now, and it's on that road is where she was murdered.
Hmm.
Yeah, but my Aunt Linda works there for years and years and years. So, yeah, a lot of these, I'm like, I looked them up on maps. I was like, oh, crap, I've ate Chick-fil-A there. Oh, crap, I've, like, driven on that road so many times.
Sudden realization that you have been near where a serial killer has.
Well, I think about it. Like, there's a study, I can't remember, like, what it was, but, like, you.
Shake hands with a serial killer at least, like, 10 times in your life.
Something like that. I don't think it's that much, but, yeah, something like that. Or, like, just think about people you pass on the street. You mean you could think like, oh, wow, they look, you know, so precious. And then, haha, they kill people. Or, yeah.
I try not to think about that too much.
It's like crazy.
I mean, I meet a lot of people in my life. I don't, yeah.
So, early March, obviously the police are looking, like, really trying to find this man. Like, who is the stalking strangler? And because it was a black man killing elderly white women, it just became this huge racial thing. I mean, there was a lot going on. So the police also started to get threatening letters from this other man who called himself, quote, chairman of the forces of evil, end quote. He threatened to murder selected black women if this man was not found.
The chairman of the forces of evil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a really poorly written comic book supervillain.
Well, they found the man. His name was William Hintz. He's a black man, and he was a Fort Benning soldier.
Of course.
Yeah. So
he'd be getting in all kinds of trouble.
He was arrested on April 4th, 1978. He had killed three black women that were mostly I think they were all prostitutes.
Hmm.
So it was just so sad. But anyways, on April 20th, 61-year-old Janet Kofer was found strangled in her home and had the signature knotted stocking around her neck. And he like went to South Carolina for a while. And while he was there in April of 1978, like the end of April, there was a series of armed robberies they called him the Steakhouse Bandit. Like, quote, Steakhouse Bandit.
Is it because he knocked off steakhouses?
So it's because he would rob restaurants. Yeah, he would rob them.
Some of the names they used to give like serial robbers and whatnot are just absolutely astounding to me. You wouldn't get away with that today.
Right. So 8 months later, he was arrested in Gaffney and confessed and got a sentence. Gaffney's also in South Carolina. But he got a sentence of 21 years for armed robbery for being the Steakhouse Bandit. He was transferred to a minimum security prison in Columbia, South Carolina. But guess what? He escaped 4 years later on March 15th, 1983.
I'm telling you, this is just a poorly written comic book. Like, that's exactly what this is.
So, 14 months after that, he was arrested on May 3rd, 1985. Sorry, y'all, it's my phone. 1984, I'm sorry. May 3rd, 1984 at a hotel in Albany, Georgia. And the reason he was arrested is because he was a fugitive from South Carolina, and he was linked to a burglary in 1977 in Columbus.
Mm.
Yeah. So then on May 4th became the charges of the murders of Sheeble, Thurman, and Woodruff. Yeah, he was only charged with three.
Three.
Yeah. So now this is whenever he starts going into the court cases, and y'all, my dad swears up and down that he was there, that he went to the court. He swears. So we're going to call my dad and we're going to get his story of what happened, because his mama says there's no way that happened. He swears. I mean, my dad was 12 years old. He was 12 years old at this time.
Let's see what he has to say.
Let's see what he says. I swear, if you don't answer.
Hey.
Hey. Is Padre there?
Oh, yes. He is here. Hang on just 1 second.
Hey, Padre. You're on Crime with a Side of Wine. Okay, I just had a few questions. Can you tell us what happened in 1984?
Oh, yeah, I remember I was at my grandma's one day. Must have been the weekend, I guess. I was reading the paper or something. I just remember seeing an article about it in there.
Then what happened?
Well, I think my dad took us to the courthouse there in Columbus, and me and my brother, and we went in. I don't remember any specifics of the trial or nothing, or if he was even in there, just that it was like a courtroom or whatever, and then he could have been in there very long, then we left.
Hmm. Was it like really crowded or anything?
Yeah, I mean, it was full.
Hmm.
Everybody,
but you swear you went to this courthouse.
Yes, I really do. My mom says no, but I do remember that.
I know, like, she's told me, like, there's no way we would have let him and Andy go to that courthouse that young. Interesting. You don't remember, like, Granny being terrified or anything?
No.
Okay, well, thank you.
Scared as children, you know, we were scared in the neighborhood. Things just seemed scary to us.
Oh.
It was in the news.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Padre. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. I love you. Have fun.
Love you.
Bye. Bye. So, yep, my dad swears he went there. If y'all can tell, I don't know why he was so nervous to talk on the phone. I don't know. Maybe embarrassed.
Put him on the spot.
I guess I did. But you know what? He's fine. He'll live. He's good. Okay, so yeah, he swears he went there. He went to jail. He told me he like sat on a bench for a little while, looked around. There's like a lot of people everywhere. And that was it. So I don't know. He swears that his dad dropped him off at that courthouse. Honestly, in the 80s, he probably did.
It just seems like abuse.
How? I mean, he's not doing anything wrong. He's just going to the courthouse. How is that abuse?
Drop you off at the courthouse where a serial killer is. Psychological warfare right there.
Nah, they're fine. Toughen up.
It's like saying the boogeyman gonna come get you if you don't behave and act right.
Hell yeah, he will. You better act right.
Bubba Yaga.
Oh my gosh, I saw this little thing. It's freaking Lorelai. I mean, it's her. A toddler is now a turdler. A toddler who acts like a damn turd. A turdler.
I'm pretty sure I've heard you call her that before, and I was confused. I probably have
called her that.
But I didn't want to ask about it.
Because she's a butt sometimes, but I love her to death.
She's an adorable butt.
Okay, so back to the story. Okay, August 1986, the jury only deliberated for 3 hours before convicting him on all counts. Guilty and sentenced to death.
Well, I guess that's how the cookie crumbles.
I guess so. Now, for 30 years, Gary's appeals, like, went on to the state and federal counts. Went to the state and federal courts. Because defense attorneys found evidence that was not presented at his trial.
But would it have really made a difference?
Okay, so now some articles did say that, like, one woman who did identify Carlton Gary, she also identified, like, three other black men. Like, so, I mean, her statement's nowhere near accurate. Like, you can't say, oh, he did it. Oh, wait, maybe those other three ones did it too. Like, you can't do that.
Was it a white woman?
I don't know.
Oh.
I really don't know.
I don't know. Sometimes that happens, though.
I know, but, like, okay, if you don't say it's someone if you don't know. Like, just say, you know what? I don't remember. I can't tell. Don't sentence someone who's innocent.
This is why I could have never been a trial lawyer.
Just, you know what? I don't know. I can't tell when people do that. Okay, so he tried to appeal. Never happened. Nothing ever came from it. Then on March 15th, 2018 at 10:33 p.m., he was executed, and he did not accept a final prayer or make a final statement. Never showed any remorse. Nothing. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, if he did it, he got what was coming to him.
I guess so. It's just sad if it was the wrong man, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. And it happens more often than people think.
Yeah. So. But, anywho, and it's also sad, too, like, the women in Albany, their family never got any...
Closure?
Closure and just, like, you know...
They never got any concrete answers.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I mean, they were never... Nobody was charged with the death of their family and friend, and it's just sad. So, anywho, also, like, I don't know. This one, I know it was short. Like, I'm sorry. There really was not much evidence. I mean, not evidence, much information other than a brief little history about him and...
Conflicting stories.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. So... But yeah, that's Carlton Gary, the stocking strangler that my daddy went to the court case on.
You say that so excitedly.
I think it's cool that, like, he was at a court case where, like, this huge serial killer was having his hearing.
Hmm.
And if, I'm assuming it's the same courthouse that is still standing in Columbus right now, because guess what, I've been there too. But yeah, so... Anyways, that's the story. We will see y'all next week. If you have any ideas or topics you want me to talk about, or please send me some ideas for wines to drink, because I'm tired of the same old crap. Like, I need some new stuff.
I might have to just make a trip to the liquor store this weekend.
Maybe. Let me know on Twitter at crimewinepod, or send us an email, crimewinepod@gmail.com. And yeah, I hope y'all have a fabulous weekend or week or whenever you're listening to this. Fabulous day, fabulous night.
Morning.
Fabulous life.
Yeah.
Yeah. May you get all you ever hoped of.
And, you know, more. Not meet one of the people that we talk about.
Yeah, y'all be safe out there. Be careful. Be smart. Look at all your surroundings. I'm going to be that mama on y'all. Be careful. Okay? Yeah, be good. Be good to each other. Be kind. You have anything to say?
I think you kind of covered everything.
Okay. Well, we will see y'all next week. And yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye.